In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from 1 Kings 19. We are all involved in the ministry of God's Word to meet people's needs. Professors, staff, theological students, seminary family, parish pastors. What a privilege the holy ministry is. But how do we meet our needs, especially those needs arising out of our ministry? That was the problem with which Elijah was struggling in our text. This morning we want to meditate on dealing with our ministry needs, first by recognizing those needs, and secondly by receiving God's provision to help us. I'm not sure whether Elijah was fully aware of his ministry needs prior to our text. Certainly he was a faithful servant of the Word. What a difficult situation he had. Northern kingdom Israel, Ahab and Jezebel at the helm, Baal worship rampant, and his responsibility to faithfully proclaim the Word of God to help people in that setting. And he was good at it, and he was unflinching, and he relied upon God. A faithful minister of the Word, he also relied on God's resources. The brook Cherith, meat and bread every day and evening, the widow's house, the cruse of oil, well taken care of, and he knew where it came from. A faithful minister of the Word, relying on God's resources, experiencing a time of triumph in his ministry. Mount Carmel, the dramatic confrontation with the prophets of Baal, against all odds, relying on God. Victory, destruction of the false prophets. And as a touch, praying, and having God bring rain out of a clear blue sky to end the drought. Top of the world, invulnerable, this faithful, God-oriented minister of the Word. But those needs for ministry came crashing down upon him as our text begins. Persecution from Jezebel. She hears from Ahab. Immediately, she sends a messenger to him. You're going to die just like those prophets that were killed. Elijah knows her ruthlessness, her persecution. And thinking about that, his ministry crumbles around him. He's fearful. He's running for his life as far as he can go. From Samaria, Mount Carmel, to Beersheba, the southernmost part of Judah. Exhausted, fearful for his life. And he's lonely. A little later he says to God that he feels like he's the only one in all of Israel who is not bending the knee to Baal. Fearful, lonely, and despairing, he says that he's ready to just die, to end it all. No purpose, no hope. We can understand those reactions in the face of that persecution, but if we look at it carefully, there's sin there. Sin from the persecutors, but also sin inside. In fear and loneliness and despair, there is unbelief, and there is disobedience, and there is self-pity. Oh, how Elijah recognizes his ministry needs and is helpless to do anything about it. How about you? Are you in touch with your ministry needs? I would suspect that most of us would consider ourselves faithful ministers of the Word. Humbly, we would estimate ourselves that way. Not an Elijah. But hanging in there, keeping up with the studies, doing enough, by God's grace, of course, to serve in this place and to look forward to a parish ministry. and relying on God's resources. After all, you're in chapel today, some aren't. That indicates you know from whence comes the power. And we have our moments of triumph. Not a Mount Carmel, to be sure, that dramatic, but victory in some doctrinal controversy, success in academic achievements, pats on the back after a first sermon, the satisfaction of visiting someone in a hospital bed and seeing God use us. And indeed, we can think that we're on top of the mountain, with God's help, of course, invulnerable as ministers of the word, until the real ministry needs come crashing in upon us. And we're aware that despite all our faithfulness and all our efforts and the deserved pat on the back, the persecution continues. The Jezebels rear their ugly heads. Satan at work on a seminary campus, for sure in parishes, somehow threatening, if not our life, then perhaps our ministry future. And we react with fear. And we just want to run away and get as far away as we possibly can because we don't know what to do. And with it comes a loneliness that perhaps no one else understands, and that we are alone without hope. And then possibly even the discouragement and the despair. Where if we do want to keep living, we are not always willing to believe that this is for us, or that we should stay in this church because the pressures are too great. I think of a classmate of mine, brilliant student, effective pastor from my understanding, who one day simply pulled into the garage and turned on the motor and killed himself because he couldn't take it anymore. Understandable the fear and the loneliness and the despair, but if we look closer, there's sin involved. Sin from without, to be sure, but also from within, as we doubt God and disbelieve our source and wallow in self-pity. We are in need because of our ministry, and we're helpless. How do we deal with our ministry needs? By recognizing them, which includes repentance, but then secondly, by receiving God's provision. Elijah on the move, not even knowing what was good for him, exhausted, asleep, wakes up and there is a baked cake and a cruse of water and an angel to minister and another sleep, God's provision physically in his helplessness. But then on to the mountain, the holy mountain of God, Horeb, Sinai, where Moses confronted the burning bush. And there into the presence of the living God, his greatest provision. Not the Deus absconditus in a wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but the Deus revelatus in a still, small voice, which, among other things, was communicating, I am, and I love you and forgive you, and you are not alone, for there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal, and I have a special person for you, your successor Elisha, who will also minister to you. And with the provision, physically, the still small voice, and God himself, comes the challenge. So let's get back at it. There's a Syrian king to anoint, a new king of Israel to get in business, and a successor to choose. Refreshed, strengthened, Elijah returned to ministry. God's provision is no less important to us. Ours, as we stumble and fall, is merely to receive. It comes in physical terms, daily bread, seminary style, not steak, but amazing provision in difficult circumstances. but more the ministry to go to the Holy Mount, to Horeb, to come face to face with the I Am God, not having to face in our repentance the deus absconditus of volcanoes and winds of our day, but the still small voice of the Deus Revelatus with the message, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will not thirst. That's the parallel New Testament passage to this text. And in that still small voice, we are told about one who experienced the ultimate in persecution, who had the very forces of evil against him, who was challenged with fear and experienced loneliness from his friends and the Father, who knew the discouragement and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But who stretched out his arms in death and won the victory. That I Am God incarnate, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is there as our greatest provision for ministry needs. And we are assured that we are not alone, but we are part of a community of faith, and that there are individuals like Elisha there to minister to our needs. And comes the challenge. Get back to ministry. There's work to be done. My provision is sure, but many people need you. That's how to deal with our ministry needs, by recognizing our needs, by receiving His provision. So with the bread of life in our possession, let's get on with the ministry. Amen.